Hey, everybody. Welcome to Q on Q. Well, we are back. Took a few weeks off here to spend some time with family, enjoy the fleeting moments of summer, and of course, we had marching band camp sprinkled in there as well. Having a great season so far, so much energy from the kids, and it's great to see what I've penned on paper come to life on the field. And now we're back to school. Labor Day is here, fall is just around the corner, and we are back with all new episodes for the fall. Well, before we get started, I want to do a little bit of reflection here. I don't know about you, but the summer of 2022 might have been the most enjoyable, but probably the most challenging one ever. I really don't even know where to start. So this summer, I kind of adopted a word. Well, kind of a philosophy, you know, like I do for the year. And for this summer, my word was detach. I was committed to detaching from always being busy, to take a step back from work and do whatever was necessary for video and school stuff, but mostly try to enjoy the time with my family. My kids are now 20 and 16, and I know we don't have too many summers where we're all going to be together all the time. We did a ton of things this summer. We went to lots of concerts and musical performances, saw some great baseball and soccer and football games, spent some time in nature, some time interacting with history, and some time looking towards the future. So that all sounds great. Why would I say this summer was challenging? Well, as summer progressed, I started to have a really hard time with something. As I was finding myself detached from responsibilities, I started to notice how many people came to me first thing for answers, for solutions, to do something for them, which kind of was a problem if I was trying to detach from things. And I'm flattered that I've garnered the respect and position so many people come to me first, but here's why I've had some trouble and what's been challenging. Sometimes, probably too many times, I just dive right in and either do something for someone or solve a problem that wasn't mine to solve or give an opinion because they didn't have one to give and my opinion became their opinion. Now please hear me out. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about serving others and I still believe in and live out the value and importance of giving and serving others before ourselves. But I got to the point where it was just assumed that I would do some things. It was assumed I would always be there. It was assumed others would always know my thoughts, and detaching caused a lot of that to cease on its own, or for me to take a step back and encourage and allow others to do so on their own. So one of my family's favorite things every summer is drum corps. Now, if you don't know what drum corps is, think of it like professional marching band, but minus the woodwind instruments, you know, all the brass, the percussion, the guard, the pit, and simply incredible productions. We love seeing them live. We've been going to see them for years, but we also get a subscription and watch a bunch of competitions from around the country. I'm always fascinated by how a creative team can take a theme and turn it into an entire field production. For most corps, it starts almost a year in advance. The design holds a brainstorming meeting where ideas for stories are shared, and at that point, no music or visuals are discussed. The entire focus is on the story to be told. Then they begin to select music and design visuals to tell the story through the show. I spent some time digging into the show themes for all of the corps this year because I was just so impressed with how well so many of them told the story through their show. This year's shows included themes about imagination, color, creation, lost love, found love, travel, looking back, looking forward, ancient times, modern times, and much, much more. And in reflecting on these musical journeys we were taken through, I started to reflect just how much we can dissect these themes and learn from the stories they told through the music. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be doing a series, taking a few of my favorite shows from the summer, and relating their titles to some of the things we have experienced and learned this summer. I've titled this series Marching Forward, because after some of the things we've experienced, I know we're being called to move forward in many areas. Maybe it's a stretch, maybe I'm just so into drum corps I wanted to find a way to connect one of my favorite things to the lessons I've learned, but in my quiet times, in my dreams, in my reflections, I've been seeing so many connections that they needed to be shared, and I apologize in advance. Some of these may be pretty lengthy because I've been given a lot to share. So today, we begin with part one, and this week is entitled Rifts and Revelations. This was the title of the show by the Bluecoats from Canton, Ohio. Their show was about a journey, the parts that repeat, the things that were learned, the things discovered, over the road on a journey to reveal who we really are. If you're not familiar with the term riff, in music, a riff is defined as a short repeated phrase in popular music and jazz, typically used as an introduction or in a refrain in a song. You know, I can't tell you how many times I feel like things repeat themselves over and over again. And I often ask why. Like, for example, one of my kids will make the same comment about a situation or experience every day for weeks. And when I ask if they realize that nothing will change till they take initiative to do something about it, I realize that it's just like running on a hamster wheel. A revelation is defined as both something surprising and previously unknown, and also the divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something related to human experience or the world. And I think this summer we found that some of those things that we just continue to do over and over again really had some things that needed to change. Thus, we found some revelations. So today I want to share with you some of our riffs and some of our revelations. The riffs were the patterns we were living, and the revelations are what we learned through our experiences, and we focused on growth together. First, I want to say this. The world tends to think, and I think, glorifies revelations as monumental events. You know, that picture where the world goes silent, the giant beam of light descends from on high, and we're catapulted into sudden, deep, and total understanding of a particular truth. Well, what I'd like to share with you is more of how faith and life revelations have presented themselves in really more smaller, everyday situations. These ordinary, extraordinary moments, for lack of a better term, if you can call them that, are much easier to spot or even trigger, and there's no beam of light or harp music needed. To be honest, they're common sense, and I already knew them before, but it took some experience with decisions and consequences to really make them stand out and make them seem real. So here we go. Here's the first one. More does not always equal better. I've always heard it said, do less, but better. As a school teacher and someone involved in 5,000 other side things, I find myself constantly busy. But here's the reality. When you lump together my roles as a school teacher, a worship leader, a composer, a videographer, a podcast host, not to mention a father and a spouse, there's a lot. And while I will never pass up opportunities I feel are led to me to fulfill my life's calling, sometimes we see opportunities as things we just can't pass up for other reasons. Maybe it'll make us a quick buck. Maybe it'll get us in good with the boss. Maybe we'll finally get to hang out with those people we've wanted to be friends with. And even though we know we don't see ourselves in their circle of relationships, oh boy, wouldn't it be nice to just get to hang out with them? The fact is we can't and we shouldn't try to do everything. I myself consider myself to be a leader. I like to be in control and run things and manage and delegate and organize. I like to think I can see a big picture. The thing is, though, that if somebody drops the ball, or I'm afraid that they will, I find myself thinking it'll just be easier if I just did it all myself. In reality, it's important to do one or two things really well and trust the people that you are working with. I found this summer the importance of removing the things from your life that suck energy unnecessarily and how freeing that is, or at least putting them on the back burner, you know. It allows us to experience the things that really matter. I wonder sometimes how much we forget to focus on the things we are really good at. All of us have strengths that are usually underutilized and maybe even undiscovered. Not that we focus on our weaknesses, but if you do, you'll just have better weaknesses. Focus on discovering and improving your strengths is what we need to do. And perhaps most importantly, in realizing we can't and shouldn't do it all. We have to learn when to say no, sometimes when to say not now, and when we should delegate, automate, or outsource. Precious time and energy and emotion is wasted when we don't do those things. It can be something as simple as getting an overdue notice in the mail for a bill you forgot to pay. Why not set it on auto pay so you don't have to worry about it? Or that side project you started at your house, having big dreams and big pictures, but knowing full well you wouldn't have time to do it or finish it. Well, why not ask for help? Or better yet, see who you can ask to barter services with or help you get the project done cheaply. So more does not always equal better. The second revelation I've really thought about this summer is life is a marathon, not a sprint. I know that none of us know the day or the hour in which our life on this earth will end, but I think the real application here goes way deeper than the literal meaning of the saying. A sprint is a short run. A marathon is a long one. Great. I'm guilty of saying the phrase a lot, but for the longest time, I really only had a surface-level understanding of the phrase. Here's what I mean by that. Great things take time to build and accomplish. I soon discovered it was a naive take on the phrase. Because in the past few years, and especially this summer, I realized that statement has far more significance than just time and distance. And unfortunately, the only way to really understand the analogy is to experience it. Now, I'm not a runner, though I probably should go out and hit a few laps every so often. I think this can be applied in the sense of an analogy a little deeper than most of us do. Not even counting the training required, preparing for a marathon is a mental roller coaster. You can feel unstoppable for miles, and then out of the blue, your legs stop working. Think about this with almost any big project or endeavor or experience. You can feel on top of the world. Everything's firing on all cylinders. Nothing can stop you, and then boom. Maybe things begin crashing down around you. Maybe something stops you in your progress. You feel so many highs and so many lows. And at points, you feel like you're cruising, and then suddenly you feel like you're ready to pull out of the race altogether. I'm sure if you've tried to start something, that feeling is all too familiar to you. The fact is that you're never really done. Yes, you might have crossed the figurative finish line, but in the back of your mind, you're really already evaluating what you could have done differently, or maybe you're looking forward to how to propel into the next endeavor or opportunity. This has been an interesting summer when it comes to discussions with our kids. For any of you with teenagers and young adults out there, I'm sure you've experienced when you say something and it seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. Pretty rarely do we get the miracle of saying it once and it's taken care of, never to deal with again. For a long time, I found myself being one of those broken record parents. You know, our son will be the first to admit to you that he just looks at the moment in a situation, but often doesn't look at or consider what might be down the road. Parents, you know it's not a sprint, but it's a marathon. I've also been neglecting the opportunities I've had to compose more. For me, my initial thought was, it'll get published, and then people will buy it, and I'll make money. Well, I've seen a few select composers make it big right away, but I've come to realize it's not an instant thing or even a guaranteed thing. Some of the people who are just selling their works now have been writing for years. Some have made it big for themselves, but are still making connections to get their name out there. It's not about the immediate. It's not about the guarantee. It's more about what will come in the long term with the hard work and the investment. You know, with almost anything, you push and grind to get it out there, but when it's finally ready, you really realize how far you still have to go. Taking the time to reflect on what was good and what wasn't, what went well and what didn't, and figuring out how to get on track towards your goals is all part of the plan. You've heard me say many times you have to respect and follow the process. I've learned that the actual race was really only a very small part of the whole process. It's really about the training you put in before and the plan you follow. When we make a plan, sometimes it seems like it'll be easy to follow, but we quickly realize that the figurative wear of the miles on your body is going to happen. And as you probably guessed, straying from the plan doesn't often reward you. It's all too tempting to start to ignore the reflection, the recovery, and the self-care, but often it only comes back to haunt you. A marathon isn't easy. In fact, it's pretty awful at moments. We want results immediately. How about the process of learning to train, to have patience, and push through dark times helps make us resilient in areas of our lives that we don't often expect? The saying, life is a marathon, not a sprint, albeit overused sometimes, proves that there is more meaning to uncover than what we initially assume sometimes. Committing to a goal is difficult, but seeing progress is something we can never regret. And that brings me to my third revelation of the summer. minimize regrets. I'm sure you guys have heard the phrase, no regrets, many times in life, but to be honest, I don't think that's human reality. The goal of most of us, if not all of us, is to live a life where we regret nothing that we've done, which is where most of us see that phrase. But I think the reality is, or maybe what we should think is, if tomorrow came and we didn't have the opportunity to do something, say something, be something for someone, what are the things we'd want to live out today? I don't know if you want to consider it a bucket list or a list of must-dos, but I know in my life there are times and there are things that I see pass by and wonder why I let them go. I'll never forget years ago when my son was much younger and he had a baseball game. It might have been T-ball or something like that. And at the time, I was really busy. I had changed teaching responsibilities at school and was knee-deep in video work and serving on staff at a church. And my son was getting ready to go to his game, and he said something to the effect of, "Dad, are you coming to my game tonight, or do you have to work again?" And that night, my heart admittedly sank a little. In that moment, I regretted being so busy that I missed out on moments with my kids, and they were noticing that I wasn't there. So when I say minimize regrets, this is what I mean. When you know there's something you're doing or saying or being that you know is adversely affecting your family, your calling, your well-being, and you can see it, don't let it slip by. Don't create a regret. Don't allow yourself, you know, whenever possible, to get to the point when you regret something that you had the power or opportunity to change. I'm going to be honest. This summer, I found there were times where I needed to be a bigger and better father for my kids. And I've always felt I've been a pretty darn good father, but I didn't want to regret missing opportunities to have that conversation that was needed, to be present for that moment, to be what was needed, where I needed to be, when I knew I had the opportunity to be there. When you're old and gray, it would be nice to look at all the experiences and opportunities you had, knowing you had grabbed onto the ones you were destined for, and the ones you were involved in that you had the power to give your best and or change them for the better, and you did. So when you have the opportunity, minimize regrets. And the fourth, and perhaps the biggest and most important thing that I've learned this summer, good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. This is probably the one where we've had the biggest amount of discussion this summer in our family. We communicate not only with our words, but also with our actions. Body language is just as effective to convey a message as saying actual words. Anytime we've talked about communication in our family, I'm reminded of a book that I read when I was in college. It's Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And the 5th habit in the book is, seek first to understand, then be understood. If you're like most people, you probably seek first to be understood. You want to get your point across in a conversation, especially one you begin. In doing so, you might end up ignoring the other person completely, or listen selectively, or even pretend that you're listening, but miss the meaning entirely. The reason? Most people listen with the intent to reply, not to understand. And more often than not, we filter our conversations through past experiences, and then consequently decide prematurely what the other person means, even sometimes before they've finished communicating. The fact is that everything we do or say sends a message to others around us. We are Christ's representatives on earth, and it's important for us to communicate the right messages. I remember somebody telling me one time that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. We should strive to listen more than we talk. We're reminded of this in Ecclesiastes 3:7 when it says this, and this is the English Standard Version. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. What's perhaps most important is how meaningful your communication is. When somebody asks a question, do you attempt to actually respond? Or do you just respond with, okay, or IDK, or yep, just for the sake of answering? How do you think somebody feels if they're trying to open up lines of communication with you, only to be redirected, minimized, or even offended or shut down? If someone has wronged you, forgiveness is a must-do. Might be hard, but we're called to forgive and, conversely, try to mend things. If you've wronged someone, you should apologize and try to open up that line of communication. And most importantly, pray about the situation and ask God to give you the words and actions that you need. Maybe you're to apologize and then that season with that person is over. But maybe, just maybe, a good open line of communication will give you the opportunity you need to mend things. Because when people don't talk, there's a lot of misunderstanding. When people don't make an attempt, there's a lot of disconnect. But as we've told our own kids, you never know if you don't open up that line of communication. Well, what do I say and when do I say it? How do I stay connected and relate with people who are important to me? How do I grow and maintain friendships? Well, communication is not a bad place to start. But of course, there's always that chance it'll be one-sided and you'll be doing all the talking. How do you react? How does it make you feel when somebody says they don't want to talk to you? At least on your end. Try never to make a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling. As much as possible, don't let emotion take over your conversation and determine what you're going to say and how you're going to react. Because good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. So that's a whole lot. Well, at least it is to me. And maybe I haven't given you a whole lot of concrete solutions to issues, and I haven't provided all the fixes, but here's what I have to say in a nutshell. It's not okay to just go through the motions and avoid being better when you have the opportunity to do so. Have faith. Be strong. Be yourself. At least for my family, it seems like day in and day out, we find ourselves just doing the same thing over and over. You know, the same daily routine. Burying our faces in our phones. Isolating ourselves when we really need to be together. This summer, we've experienced some emotional highs and some emotional lows. Our kids have gained friends and lost friends, mostly not by their choosing. I've started to see cliques forming with people I connect with that on the surface, they act like they want me to be a part, but in reality, I'm just there to help them with something they need help with. The revelations we've experienced have helped us take a look at all of our lives, how we talk, how we relate, how we act, and most importantly, how we trust. And it all goes back to where our faith stands and how we use it as a lens for all we say and do. When you have the option, always be the bigger person, no matter how hard it might be. Whenever I think about this topic, I always go back to one of my favorite poems, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. The words say this: two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. It's hard sometimes to take that road. Perhaps you feel like you're just living day to day and nothing changes. Maybe you've had opportunities and decisions to make, and you find yourself taking the easy way, or making a momentary choice that has caused fleeting feelings or experiences. After hearing what I've shared today, you might be having some revelations in your own life. And I know you're going to hate hearing this, but I don't have all the answers for you on what you should do, because every situation is unique, and that's personal things for you to answer. But I want to finish by reminding you of these revelations I've experienced and just what they've meant to me. Think about how real they just may be for your life too. Remember that more does not equal better. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Minimize regrets. And good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. My prayer this week is that you will allow God to give you the revelation, even in one area of your life. Maybe it's one you've struggled. Maybe it's one you've denied or one you've needed growth. It's only through revelation, admittance, faith, and really trust that we can allow him to work in us, to stretch us, to grow us, to show us. And I hope that even a little of what I've shared about my family's revelations this summer can help jumpstart your process as well. Well, friends, that brings to a wrap part one of our March Forward series. Next week, our title is Rearview Mirror, and the focus is going to be looking back, looking ahead, and why sometimes things are really closer than they may appear. As always, thank you again for your support and for listening, and we will see you back here next time when we'll have more for you on Cue.